This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
The best you've got on for a rip, often imitated, never duplicated.
Time to sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post here, joined as I am each and every week by Aaron Evernham. How are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Fantastic, but I come off a sprint car weekend.
Oh.
Now, you come off a birthday weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, so 29 again.
29 again. Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, happy 29th-ish. Yes, 29. Happy 29th-ish.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. We'll go with that. Exactly. So, you had a good weekend, everything? Well, you did a horse show.
I did, yeah. It was at a horse show, but Kate's new barn is some good families. We might have had a little tequila involved. It was a good time.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
But I didn't get to go to Pennsylvania to see sprint car racing.
No, I'm telling you. I've been on this kick this year, and you've heard it every time we've cracked open the microphones here for Wing Nation about screaming at people about going to races. And I shared a little bit of this after Lincoln when I got there. And then between Lincoln and this past weekend, I watched some pay-per-view shows. And pay-per-view is awesome. Pay-per-view does a great job. But it is nothing like being at the racetrack. And so, Central Pennsylvania. A couple of things that stand out. Aaron, we spent a lot of time talking about California young talent.
Yep.
Don't look now. There is some really good young talent in Pennsylvania. I think, and we had him on a couple weeks ago, Troy Waggaman is probably going to win a fair number of races this year. He's in the Mike Hefter 27 car.
Yep.
I think Troy Waggaman is one to watch. But just up there, Chase Dietz, Aaron Bollinger, Matt Campbell, Kyle Moody, Dylan Norris are just a few. There is a lot of young talent that is moving up, graduated from the 358s or from the 305s, and they're trying to. I think one of the things with Pennsylvania, they're finding their way after the era of big owners is gone. I mean, you know, we still have Mike Hefner, we still have a few, but that era where you had car after car after car, and guys would just, you know, 2 or 3 years in this car and then 2 or 3 years in that car.
Yeah.
That era is gone, but these teams and families are figuring ways to make things work. And I think there's a lot of good young talent. So that's one thing I came away from. Another thing I came away from, and I shared this after Lincoln, and it is through the moon, the Danny Dietrich, Freddie Raymer rivalry. If they can keep from killing each other, wrecking each other, or taking out other innocent people, this is maybe the best thing in sprint car racing right now. At Lincoln on the opener, at Williams Grove on Friday night, we'll talk about that in a little bit, and at Babs, when those two cars get around each other, that is all anybody is focused on. And that's all anyone's talking about. I mean, we had a photo finish, and the Babs race was spectacular.
Mm.
But we had a photo finish, but the energy in that place when Danny got by Freddie was wild. It's crazy. And at one time, Freddie was rolling to the front, and the Raymer fans are up and they're waving. And then Danny's rolling to the front and they're up and waving. And then they met third. I mean, just it is so good if they can keep from killing each other, wrecking race cars, and wrecking innocent people.
Yeah.
This thing is
rivalry is good.
Rivalry is really good. And this one is good. This is really good. Another thing that comes away, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, I get to Babs about every 2 or 3 years. I am telling you, it's like when you see kids and you don't see them for 6 months or a year. What Scott Gobrek and Colton are doing there is phenomenal. That place looks so good. That place races so good, looks so good. I mean, just everything there is good. I mean, unreal. Unreal how good that place is. And I put this up there. I put this up there, and I'll say the same thing that I said about Lincoln. This Babs Motor Speedway, if you put Babs Motor Speedway anywhere in the country, it would be a big welcome. And it's big and a welcome addition there in Central Pennsylvania. You put that anywhere in the country, and that would be the premier store track. Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem is you have Lincoln, you have Port Royal, and you have Williams Grove.
Yeah.
I mean, but the bottom line of it is what they have done there is unreal, and they're building a micro track. We have to go up and see a micro race up there now. So that is good. But now, all of this pales in comparison to the headline of the weekend, okay?
Let me guess.
Yes, in food. Oh my gosh, Aaron, there is a new food group that I did not even realize existed, okay? Ron Rutherford. Ron is a team owner. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But he owns Mama's Pizza in Wellsville. I walk in there Sunday to get lunch. And he says, you want a pizza bowl or a pretzel bowl? You want a pretzel? I'm like, what is he talking about? And I'm talking to him. And he's great. And I've met Ron a couple of times. I mean, first off, you walk in there. I think it's his girlfriend that runs the front of the shop. She's decked out in sprint car stuff. Over in the corner is a table full of sprint car fans, another group of sprint car fans, sprint car pictures.
Your people.
On the wall. This is our people. This is church. Okay, this is sprint car church. So I'm going down through the menu and I'm like, what is he talking about? This pretzel, whatever. Pretzel, you know. I get to the stromboli section, pretzel boli.
Mmm.
Yeah. Okay, so you think there now, those of you watching on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. The picture doesn't even do it justice.
What was inside your pretzel bowl?
I did pepperoni and cheese.
Did we crush the whole thing?
No, I did not. No, because I got an order of fries, which an order of fries is approximately the size of a dump truck load of fries. Okay. No, I did not. But I like cold pizza. And the next morning for breakfast, that was so good. Pretzel bowly, stromboli, but pretzel. Okay. Ron, he's serious about this. He actually went and contracted with a local pretzel, because they make all kinds of pretzels in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Went to a local pretzel company and has an exclusive contract with them for the pretzel dough, and they make the stromboli in pretzel dough, put a little salt on top of it. Aaron, life-changing.
Really?
This is unreal. I mean, I'll MapQuest it. We could jump in the car now and drive up there and get some, and it would be worth
the
trip.
You just say MapQuest?
Yes, MapQuest. Exactly. No, Google Maps. Okay, MapQuest is my, That's
the old school when you printed them out.
Yes, you printed them out to find the local racetracks. Yeah. Exactly, yes. Back in the day before, you used to just find a race car on a hauler and follow that.
Before you had your Speedway directory.
Speedway directory and map. And
Atlas.
Map. Yes, exactly. Pretzel Bully. Okay, I'm like, it is ridiculous. So it's in Wellsville. If you're nearby there, it's great. Now Ron, okay, and I told Mark Smith, and I didn't get to tell Danny this. The fact that they've known about Pretzel Bully for all these years and have never told me about this, it really, really hacks me off. Okay, because this is life changing stuff. Ron, the Pretzel Bully is phenomenal. The restaurant is great, really, really good. Food is awesome there. Okay, Ron. In his third year as a sprint car owner. 410, Mark Smith is driving that car. And his son, Tyler, is running 358s.
Mm.
And Sunday afternoon, he got his first podium finish at
Mets. Very cool.
So a great, great thing. So kudos to Ron Rutherford.
Who is watching right now, by the way.
Ron, good to see you. The pretzel bowly is life-changing. Aaron, I'm serious.
I can tell. You don't mess around with your food.
I don't mess around with my food, which makes me mad that all of these people haven't told me about this sooner, that you should know if there's a food item out there. I mean, this is, it's unreal how good it is. So great, great folks. And I love getting out to the racetrack, but I love getting to places like this. This was, like I said, this was sprint car church with food. I mean, this was unreal. So if you find yourself up in central Pennsylvania, Wellsville, it was 13 minutes over to Babs. So I can't imagine it's all that far from everywhere else. Mama's Pizza.
Use your MapQuest to get there.
I'll MapQuest it to get there. No. I'm going to follow my nose. I'm just going to follow my nose to get there. It's good.
Steve's still using the AAA, fold
triptych.
Out.
Yeah, the old map, and it folds up, and you got to wind it around and everything else.
I mean, he's got a flip phone for crying
out
loud.
Yes, well, I do have a flip phone. I do have a
flip
phone.
This is the fanciest flip phone I've ever seen.
That's a fancy flip phone right there. Exactly, right there. So, yes,
still
okay.
Has MapQuest on.
Right, I got MapQuest on here. Okay, hold on 1 second. Mama's Pizza. I'll tell you how far it is right now. We'll go Mama's Pizza, Wellsville. Okay, Aaron, it is. Okay.
Can be there tonight.
My signal doesn't work in this building because we're in a bunker. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm telling you, it would be worth a drive. That's how good this is. It would be worth a drive. My MapQuest is slow. 7 hours and 21 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Dinner time. Late dinner.
Yeah. 466 miles. It would be worth it to drive up there for a pretzel bowl and turn around and come back. That's how good these things are. I might just, if you're not going, I might just do it. Ron, throw one in there for me. But no, it's great.
Maybe we can get Uber Eats to deliver it.
Oh.
8 hours later.
That's all right.
That's a little bit of a step up from MapQuest.
Well, no. But see, the thing of it is, there's something about pizza that very few people understand. Ron understands this. Pizza is good the first time, but great pizza is good the second time. And this was great the second time.
I feel like any Italian is better the
second
right go
about
around.
That. You're right about that. So good stuff. So
can we talk racing now? We're like way behind on time. Let's go.
Okay. Carson Macedo, Freddie Raymer, and Corey Eliason won the races. There we go. That's it right there. There we go. We got that covered. So, yeah. Boom. Bang. There we go. First off, we're going to talk to Carson and Corey. Okay. Carson Macedo picked up the win with the World of Outlaws at Kennedale. First win of the season. There's a lot going on there. Yeah. Oh, Craig just wanted it because he has all this fancy highlight footage here.
Hey, I put in all the work.
To get the highlight footage, and we're talking about Pretzel Bowley right there. So, what a finish. We're going to talk to Carson about this. Yep. That was a great, great racetrack. Yeah. Little bull ring there in Kennedale, Texas. Great stuff. So, Carson Macedo over David Gravel and Aaron Reitzel in the World of Outlaws. Friday night, I talked about this rivalry. I am telling you, when Freddie and Danny get near each other, Danny was leading the race. They started in the front row together. The luck of the draw put them on the front row together. Danny got the lead early, but you could sense that Freddie was a little quicker. And when Freddie pulled the trigger coming out of two down into three, of course, he did it right in front of Beer Hill, which made half of the people on Beer Hill scream and holler, made other half of the people want to puke. Okay, but it was great. So Freddie Raymer picked up the win, 18th career win at Williams Grove. Freddie over Danny Dietrich, Corey Eliason, Babs Motor Speedway. This was the whole day was great. And Corey Eliason and Troy Wagaman Jr. put on a show at the end of this thing. And come to find out, it was Corey Eliason getting the win. It's the second time he's won there. But Wagaman got a run at him coming out of turn number four. Those of you watching the video, here it is. That right there is 4/1,000ths of a second.
That's neat.
Corey Eliason picked up the win. Wagaman, Danny Dietrich third. Danny Dietrich, 6 Pennsylvania races, 6 podium finishes. Pretty good stuff.
Yes.
That is for
sure.
Yes, very consistent, very good. One of those was a win, by the way, too. Howard Moore won at Farmington. Jake Helsel won twice at Central Arizona Speedway in 360 Racing. And Dale Howard won with USCS. All right, now Pizza Bowl's got us totally off the reservation. We're going to go to the Sage Fruit Hotline, where Carson Macedo will join us next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Fresh off from that trip to Victory Lane in Kennedy. What a thriller that one was. I mean, the box score, Aaron, said he led flag to flag. That's what the box score said.
It did.
But the elbows had to get put up a little bit at the end of that one. Carson Macedo joins us. Hello, Carson. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How you doing?
We're doing well. You had to work the last few laps on that one. Kind of describe the way that race unfolded for you.
Yeah, it was a crazy night. You know, started out really well, obviously going quick time, and then drew a good number for the dash, and then yeah, I started on the pole there and led, like you said, the whole race, but it seemed like there was a lot of close calls. I was, you know, really nervous. The track was a little bit narrow to start the race, but I think it widened up pretty nice there at the end and kind of got a couple of grooves. And I was lucky that it ended when it did, I think, because I think that the top was coming in 3 and 4, and I was going to be in trouble pretty soon if I didn't move up. But just, you know, when you're leading, you just don't really know where a lot of them guys are at. And unfortunately, that corner was exactly where I couldn't see the big screen. So that it was all a guess. So, yeah, lap traffic got hairy a couple times there. I think I was trying to get by the 7 car at one point, and I had Sheldon kind of lingering off my right rear, and I could see him and hear him. And then, you know, sort of the same there at the end with Reitzel and David, you know, when I was trying to get by the 6 car. So I'm lucky it unfolded the way it did. Yeah, it was interesting to say the least.
Carson, this was the first time the World of Outlaws had visited this racetrack. What is it like going to a new place where not only you don't have any notes, but really nobody has, or not many of the drivers have notes? Is there stuff you do ahead of time? Do you do a little bit of research or watch some videos? Or is there any way to prep to kind of learn the nuances of the track?
Yeah, I tried to watch as many videos as I could. They had a 410 race there a couple weekends prior to that. I was talking to my buddy Dominic Selzy about, you know, he had ran that race, and I was trying to find videos. I joked around with him, said that they must have taped it on like OnlyFans or something, because I couldn't find it anywhere. I did as much as I can usually prior to the races, trying to, you know, just get as much data and feedback as I possibly can from watching other races that have happened there in the past. But Kennedale's mostly, it seems like they run modifieds there. So there wasn't a whole lot of research that I could really do other than maybe a couple of 305 races. So it's challenging. It's probably one of the biggest challenges of being full-time on the World of Outlaw Tour. But luckily, like you said, nobody else has notes either. Nobody else has much experience there. So we're all kind of in the same boat. And luckily for me, you know, with Phillip Dietz being one of the best in the sport, he kind of navigates those situations pretty quickly. And so, you know, I've kind of learned over the course of my experience on the Outlaw Tour to, you know, do my best to do the same. So I feel like that's what separates a lot of those professional teams. And usually it, you know, kind of plays into our favor for the most part, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Carson, the fact that you use Dominic Selzy and OnlyFans in the same sentence is a really, really scary thought. It really, truly is. But we'll leave
well,
that.
If anybody knows Dominic, that's exactly what he would have said.
You're right. No, that's right. Exactly. As long as he says it and does not participate over there, then I think we're all right. Yeah.
Oh boy.
When you go to a new place like this, and it was a weird night because the power went out, so you had a delay, and you're actually going to get a new place with Thunderbird. What's it like when you guys roll the World of Outlaws into a new place? Do you feel the energy? Do you feel the vibe from the place rocking like it was on Saturday night?
Yeah, I felt actually a little bit bad for the fans at first, just because, you know, that was one of those deals that's just really out of everyone's control. I mean, you know that Kennedale Speedway and all the staff there and the owners of the facility were not anticipating, you know, turning the lights on and their transformer going out. And, you know, I could see that people were starting to get frustrated, and that's a tough position to be in, because you know that they're trying to do their best, but they're trying their best to put their best foot forward to do a good job. And the last thing they want to do is be upsetting everyone. So it's, I mean, it's definitely just one of those weird deals, but it kind of delayed the show a little bit, which I think made the track a little bit, you know, more narrow early in the night, just because the sun goes down and you don't have that hot lap and qualifying sessions on the track like you normally do in the sunlight. So, but no, I mean, you could just see it. Like the fans were just, they were so pumped that we were there. They were anticipating such a cool show. And I was just happy that, you know, the people there at Kennedale Speedway were able to, you know, work with the World of Outlaws and persevere and get through that situation, get a generator there, get it hooked up. And then we were able to kind of put on the show that that the fans paid to watch. So I was really happy about that. I felt like, you know, the merchandise, everything, they were just super supportive of us, and that makes us happy. And of course makes the World of Outlaws want to go back. So I anticipate, you know, Kennedale being on the schedule again next year. And, I know Randy Gass and, you know, Noah Gass's dad, and a lot of really good people are involved with Thunderbird Speedway coming up on Friday. So I anticipate good things for that race as well.
Well, it's a good thing they got the power back on because you needed that big screen for all your video, you know, watching during the race. Talk a little bit more about that, Carson. You referenced it in Victory Lane. You referenced it with us here about kind of seeing the traffic behind you on the big screen. I mean, how much do you get to look at it? And I know this is a hot topic sometimes in the sprint car world of those big screens, but it certainly seemed helpful for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are for it and against it. I think that it's, you know, an interesting thing, right? Because it can be good and it can be bad, depending on, you know, how that goes for you as a driver. For me, I feel like I can, you know, things have maybe slowed down enough for me to where if it's placed in a, you know, a place where I'm usually transitioning a corner, I can kind of peek up at it and see where things are at. But, you know, at the same time, you could peek up at it in the middle of the straightaway and then miss your corner, and then that could cause you to lose the race. So it's not necessarily always a good thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, you try to stay focused on hitting your lines and not making the error of looking away and then causing yourself to miss. But, I think that it's a tool that you can use, you know, good or bad. It can help you. It can hurt you. But the other night, you know, there, as a driver, you know, it's so situational. You do this long enough where, you know, you're getting into lap traffic. You can feel your pace slowing down. You can feel that you're making mistakes, or maybe you're not making mistakes, but the cars in front of you are slowing you down enough to where the guys behind you are going to catch you. And then you can kind of start to hear them. And then at that point you can peek around and say, okay, maybe here's what I need to do different. Or like for me Saturday night, the situation was, look, I think the bottom's where I need to be, and I'm just going to stay down here, stay disciplined. And, you know, if they drive around me, well then, man, that's, you know, tip of the hat. But I stuck to what I was doing, and it worked out. If there was a few more laps, maybe it wouldn't have. But, you know, for that situation, it did. And I guess that's all that matters.
When we look at your season, Carson, and a lot's been made of this, you guys struggled early, 14th, 12th, 16th, and 14th. Your last four have been significantly better, 3rd, 2nd, 8th, and 1st. Now, we always talk about the driver-crew chief relationship, and you and Philip Dietz, the relationship there is really strong. Take us a little deeper in this. Last year, it was, and the last few years, you had Clyde Knipp and Nate Repitz on your team. They both made the decision that they were going to move on to other things, other situations. You bring two new guys in, Robbie McQuinn and Adam Zimmerman. Can you just kind of walk us through the transition in getting new people in new places and how challenging that is for one of these World of Outlaw teams?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, in this day and age, it's extremely difficult. It just seems like scarcity of crew guys has went through the roof, and it's not easy to find crew guys in general, but it's really hard to find crew guys that are really good and, you know, basically don't need much coaching or teaching. And unfortunately, like for World of Outlaw teams that are trying to compete for a championship, the coaching and teaching thing is tough because, you know, when mistakes are made, typically they come with consequences. And usually that comes in the form of a bad run or a DNF or something happening that hinders your night. And so we were obviously going into the off season with the mindset and idea that it wasn't going to be easy. There was a lot of other teams that were looking for car chiefs and tire guys as well. And so, you know, that drives up even more competition in the market. And I mean, it's no different than anything else in the world. It's just supply and demand. So, you know, we were just doing our best to make the right decision because, you know, as easy as it is to just hire somebody, making that right hire is really important. I mean, not only does that person have to be extremely good at what they do and fluent in what they know, but they also you got to live with them. You got to be on the road with them almost all the time. So you want them to be somebody that you want to be around as well. So, you know, we were spoiled probably the last 3 years with Clyde Knipp and Nate. They were just, you know, Clyde was like, not only was he amazing at what he did, but he's like the class clown. I mean, he always put a happy smile on everybody's face. And Nate was really good at what he did. You know, it really came in with zero experience and became one of the better or best, you know, tire guys on the road at the time. So, well, we had to make that transition. It was tough, but man, we really lucked out in the end. I think, you know, Robbie McQuinn spent the last 2 years on the road with Noah Gass' team and did a great job there and brought a lot of knowledge and and has a great attitude. And Adam is new kind of to the scene, but has worked for a few local teams and is really mechanical and has taken to the, you know, tire position role super fluently. And I think that he's going to do a great job. So they get along. They're like brothers. It's crazy. I would have thought that they were born together, the way they kind of get along and talk, and they're like two of the same. But I think we're in a really good spot, and it just seems like the team's gelling again, and I think it's only going to get better from here. So that makes me excited.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's all coming together. Carson, I want to go a little off track. We talked to your brother last week, and he was bragging on your grilling skills, and I know that Steve's going to want to hear about your food, because I don't know if you saw or heard the opening of the show, but that's pretty much all we talked about was food. So tell us what you've been grilling up lately.
So I'm like, I'm like a food connoisseur. Even though I'm skinny, I love eating all the time. So yeah. I love like barbecue. In fact, we were just in Texas, obviously, and like Texas barbecue is like something that I would move there for that. It's that good, in my opinion. And I try to, you know, I've got a Traeger at home, and I've got a Blackstone grill. So like my family's coming over, I'm going to make some teppanyaki hibachi tonight, and I'm really, really into it. And I've gotten probably more into it than I should be, really. And it's like my hobby. My fiance makes fun of me because I spend so much money on meat, but it's worth it, and it's really good, and she definitely doesn't complain about how it tastes. So yeah, I love it. I had to slow it down for a while because I was like cooking briskets just for us two, and there was so much leftovers and over abundance of meat in the end that I had to like slow down a little bit and do a little bit less of the big cook. But it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it.
My God, I'm an empty nester now. And so, like, when I have a Sunday off, I'll grill out. Well, then I'm like, what am I going to do with all of this food?
Leftovers.
Leftovers, but you can only do leftovers for so long.
On day three, that's
enough. And so then I freeze it. Well, then I don't want to get something out of the freezer. I want to grill. And so it's just it's a mess. It's a good problem to have. I'll never forget Carson. I was like, yeah, because he jokes he's a skinny guy. And he is a skinny guy. And we were talking one time, and he gave me the secret menu for In-N-Out. And I got it. It was spectacular. And I'm like, I'm taking food suggestions from a skinny guy, but that's all right. It's all acceptable. So
I love it, man. I try and find all the little, you know, places. I hate, the worst thing is being on the road and going to a chain restaurant. Like, I love going to new places and trying new things. So get to experience a lot of it because of that mentality, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Have you ever had pretzel bowly?
Oh, jeez.
I haven't. No. Okay. Is that in North Carolina?
No, it's in Pennsylvania. When you go up there.
Okay.
Mama's,
are you getting like a referral fee here?
I should get Ron to give me Mama's Pizza in Wellsville. Stromboli you've been to Mama's?
I've been to Mama's Pizza, yeah.
Yeah, with Ron. Pretzel Boli, though. It's Stromboli made with pretzel, though.
Okay. I'll have to give that a try.
We're into that. It's good. I'm with you.
I will for sure give that a try.
Yeah. Yeah, Mama's is great. Ron is great. Everyone's good there, so that's cool.
Ron's a legend, yeah.
Yeah.
Rutherford, yep.
Good stuff. Awesome. Carson, congratulations on the win. We always appreciate the time sharing and breaking things down with us, and I know we'll be talking to you throughout the season, but congratulations on the win and continued success as you go forward.
I appreciate it, guys. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I look forward to the next time.
There we go. Carson Macedo joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline for food talk with a little sprint cars thrown in. Stay with us. Who's next? Corey Eliason joins us next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage. See, we're sponsored by Sage Food. Now, it's healthy food, but you can do apples on the grill. You can do apples anywhere. Yeah,
apples on the grill are good.
Apples on the grill. Pears.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, maybe we need...
Cobbler.
I'll tell you, yeah, maybe we need to get, you know, we need to get all of our chefs. We had Dominic Selzy or Gio Selzy last week talking about eating, and Carson, we need to get them all and see what we can do with
competition.
Competition with apple or pear recipes.
Oh,
you imagine a little apple with Carson's brisket? Oh my gosh, now we're showing off. All right, food talk continues on here. Well, no, let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline and talk a little sprint car racing. Change of pace here. We're going to talk sprint cars. Corey Eliason joins us. Hello, Corey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, great. Great catching up with you. Corey, getting that first win of the season, getting it in the month of March, getting it with a whole new combination that you've even rebuilt since the beginning of the year, has to be really, really good to check that off at BAPS on Sunday afternoon.
Definitely. It's definitely, you know, start of the year, the way things go, it can wear on you quickly. And, you know, just I guess our results weren't there. We were working through it, kind of getting going, and we just made a change at the top, and that's what Brian Ridge decided to do, and it ultimately paid off for us this weekend.
Corey, you mentioned something in Victory Lane about your new crew chief, Jim Shuttlesworth. I don't know if the exact quote, but about how he did some things to the car that you didn't even want to know about that wouldn't work anywhere else. What is it like to have that confidence, though, in a new crew chief?
It's just a trust thing. You just build the trust, and when you're there racing, you do things. You kind of find a base, and you kind of stick around, you know, what's comfortable in the setup. So just some of the things that he talked about that he can do, or that, you know, they do in Central PA, it's more of a mental thing. So he kind of said some things that I usually, when we go down that path, that I was, you know, kind of getting my head, oh, this might not work. So I did tell him, you know, when he decided he wanted to do whatever he's going to do to the car, I just said that the best, you know, we can talk about it, everything, but whatever you decide to do, just don't tell me until after we're done, just in case. Either A, it'll work good, or B, it doesn't work good. I just don't want to know. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just there to, you know, get in the car and do my job. So as long as I can't be persuaded kind of one way with, you know, my own thoughts of what I think's going to happen, it'll probably end up being better.
Corey, you and I had a good visit up at BAPS Motor Speedway, and you coming to Pennsylvania for last weekend, and I believe you're staying there this weekend, is good for the relationship with you and Jim. But you also talked about the fact that it is so unique that you don't need to stay there too long. Can you kind of describe to me, kind of relive a little bit of that conversation on why it's great to be in Pennsylvania, but why you guys need to make sure that you're working beyond the Keystone State as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, being there, you know, Jim has been around there for quite a while. He has a lot of wins, a lot of experience around there. So going to PA play was a really good idea, just as a simple fact of, you know, crew chief and driver has to understand each other's language and I guess demeanor and how they interpret things. So going there, you know, Jim with a new driver, it's a little easier on his part for him to understand what I'm saying, just because he has, you know, a base. He kind of understands the racetracks a lot better than I would in that state. So even if I, you know, said something that left it open-ended on which corner to work on or which direction to go, he still has the knowledge of idea of which way he needs to go anyway. So it makes the learning process less painful, trying to, you know, understand each other. And goes same for me, as I can, you know, hear what he says and see what he does. And, you know, it'll give me confidence that, you know, every time we make a change, it's going to perform better, or it does, you know, what you expect it to do. So that's definitely the benefit. Then also, you know, as we talked about, we do need to get out of PA, just because he's very good in PA, and he's made it, you know, everyone knows Jim Shuttlesworth wins races there with, doesn't matter who's driving it. But we do need to get out of PA, because those tracks are very different. All the tracks, even if they're small, they're still, you know, long straightaways, tight corners. And we got to start going to tracks that are more momentum style racing. They're more circles. You know, the dirt's different, the air is different. So just rough, hooked up. Yeah. It's just a change of pace. So, like I said, our plan is we go back to PA this weekend, and then After that, I think we'll kind of leave that state and maybe do some do an outlaw show or something before we get High Limit going.
Corey, that all makes sense. You know, it's a great way for you guys to learn to work with each other and learn your communication. But how important is that confidence of getting a win, too? Obviously, it's a great, like you said, it's a great way for you guys to get to know each other. But before you go back out on the High Limit Tour, how nice is it to have that win under your belt?
It's definitely relieving, to say the least. Is, you know, you can finally, it's always when you start the year, everyone wants to win and everyone's out there trying to win. So you just got to get that first win out of the way. And it's like, once you can kind of break through, it just, you know, let some of the nerves go away that you're capable of being up front again. And then, you know, you're back, you just go right back there with confidence and knowing that the car will work and you can do your job and the crew does their job and everybody goes together and has the same goal. And we head down the same path of, you know, ultimately trying to win.
Corey, beyond the win at BAPS, and you talk about unique Pennsylvania racetracks, there's no more unique racetrack on the planet than Williams Grove. It has to be pretty good to get in there and get out of there with a podium finish as well.
Definitely, yeah. That was, I think, my best finish. I think when I was talking to you, it was 7th or 6th. I can't remember last year.
Yeah.
With the Crouch team. So running 3rd, you know, to Freddie Raymer and Danny Dietrich and, you know, having Macri and Sisney right there, I feel like that's pretty good company in Central PA. And, you know, just trying to figure out, I feel I've worked very hard at trying to understand Williams Grove and trying to get around that a lot better than I have been able to in the past. And having Jim and his knowledge, you know, as not only a crew chief, but you know, a lot of people forget he raced as well. Granted, he did a lot of late model stuff, but he still was there. He understands how to kind of get around those racetracks. And that's just another benefit that, you know, he brings to the Ridge & Sons team.
Yeah. You mentioned Ridge & Sons team. Mark Miller's doing a lot of marketing stuff for you. I've known Mark for years and years, good friend of mine. He actually brought over Brian to our PRI display for Racing Electronics. Just tell me a little bit about Brian, Lisa, their passion for the sport. They have you on the national tour. They have Aaron Reitzel, more local. Just getting aligned with some folks that have such a passion for sprint car racing. How important is that for you? And talk a little bit about their passion that they have for it.
It's awesome to have, you know, Brian and Lisa as the car owners, and Jeff Kettles is involved in as well. They are, you know, they're passionate enough that they have two teams. You know, in today's world, it's tough just to be able to afford to run one, let alone they have two. They have, you know, myself is going to be traveling a lot, and then they have Aaron Reitzel to where they can still go to the races, you know, support Knoxville and be there to watch every weekend. So they have a car to go watch locally, but then they can also, you know, fire up the streaming services and watch another car go around and be committed, you know, both at the, I wouldn't really say Aaron's a local car. He gets around, he's going to travel quite a bit. I mean, their focus is going to be Knoxville, but there's still, you know, 60, 70 races on the schedule. So just to have them, Brian and Lisa, that want to, like I said, put out that much money to be able to run two teams is hard to come by. So they're great people. It's more of a family atmosphere, which is awesome to be around, you know, to have them. They just want to make sure everybody's happy, everyone's having fun, and, you know, they're willing to continue to do this as long as they have fun. So that's kind of their main goal.
Yeah, it was really cool talking to them, and they're like, you're based in Knoxville, and it's like, when you're in Knoxville, come on over to the shop, hang out at the shop. They were just, I really enjoyed getting to meet Brian and really the whole gang over there. I've got two other questions for you off the racetrack. I went on your social media, and you have some stickers and some stuff for Leo. Who's Leo? Leo the dog. Who's Leo? What's the story here?
That would be my kid. That is my kid.
He was in Victory Lane, right?
If I didn't have a kid, so. Yeah, he is. He goes everywhere with us to the races. Everyone knows him. He has a personality and a half that when we're in Knoxville, I'll bring him over. If we do the Wing Nation up there, I'll bring him out with us.
Yeah,
because he is definitely the star of the show. He's like I said, he's my kid. He goes. We go to the races. We go to the gas station. We go get food. He doesn't care. He just loves to go and loves to be with us.
That is awesome, man. There is nothing better than a dog as a sidekick. Did you stay in Pennsylvania this week, or did you head back somewhere else, or are you sticking around Pennsylvania this week?
No, I flew home. I have work to do in the shop, so I'm back working, unfortunately.
Work in the shop?
Until
what are you
Thursday
working on?
And I'll fly back.
What are you working on?
I have a fab business and a powder coat shop that I kind of started and grew now. So now I kind of run that during the week and go racing on the weekends.
Well, I'll tell you what. I love that. I love that you – I mean, I know that it might not be what you want to be doing, but it's good to have that there. Keep the bills paid, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Corey.
That's it.
Yeah. Corey, really enjoyed
– No, wait. Hold on. Hold on, yeah. Steve.
What's that?
This whole show, every segment, you've brought up food.
Yeah.
We got to bring up some food subject with Corey, you know, like the pizzaroni or, you know, something.
Pretzel bowl.
Corey, what's your go-to food on the road? This has all been about food talk. What's your go-to
pizzaroni.
Food on the road?
Go-to food on the road. Chipotle. If I can find a Chipotle, I'm happy.
Man, when I first did that, my daughters introduced me to that, and I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. And then I went and that is one of our go-tos here at home. We have two or three that we go to. I love Chipotle. I love it. That's for sure.
Yeah, me too. I'm at 5-6 times a week guy.
Whoa. Oh, what's your go-to at Chipotle? Is it you mix it up with the steak and chicken and other stuff, or you have the same order?
Nope. I mean, I change between tacos, burrito, and a bowl. I've been on a bowl for the past year probably. But mainly I stay with chicken. It's pretty simple. It's chicken, rice, sour cream, cheese, and then the either guac or corn salsa, depending on the day, I guess.
Okay. Do you like their chips with guac?
Yum.
Yes. So the next thing you have to try is their chips with sour cream.
Really? Their chips?
Yeah, trust me, it's very weird. My friend taught me this. He would get chips and a side of sour cream, and I'm like, you are a weirdo. And he's like, you have to try it. And just with their chips, with the salt and the lime on their chips,
yeah,
with the sour cream,
I bet
it is actually very good.
I bet, because their chips are ridiculous. And I've always gone with the guac, but I like that. That's the next move. That's the next move.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's good. Corey, congratulations on the win. Thanks for the food tip. I'm going to have to try that next time I go to Chipotle. But
much
that
closer
is
than going to Mama's.
Yeah, we're going to Chipotle and then Mama's today. Yes, exactly. So we appreciate the time and wish you continued success here with the Ridge and Sons Racing team. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
There we go. Corey Eliason. Oh, man, because their chips are unreal.
They are really
Chipotle
good.
Chipotle chips are unreal. And I get the problem is the guac is so good, get the sour cream. That makes some sense.
With the little lime hint, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. We're going to have to try that. That's for sure. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. What a show. Corey Eliason and Carson Macedo, man.
And food. A lot of food.
I'm starving. I hope Ron's shipped one of those pretzel bowlies down here. That's it. National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Craig keeps putting it on the screen.
He keeps calling it a pizzaroni or something, too. What do you call it, Craig?
When he said,
pizzaroni.
Well, Craig was like I was when they're talking, and it's like pretzel bowl, pretzel whatever it is. And then when I saw it, then I knew what it was.
It came
together because of the bowlie, the stromboli. Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous. National Sprint Car Hall of Fame birthday calendar, a quiet week. The only birthdays are on Thursday. Hank Arnold and Jay Gordon Betts. Jay Gordon Betts, a 2002 inductee into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, born in 1918. His father was a superintendent for the Los Angeles Motor Speedway, a board track. Did you ever see any of those videos of those board tracks?
Oh, yeah. Wild.
That, now, you think sprint car drivers nowadays are crazy.
Those board tracks are wild.
I mean.
And there's a reason they no longer exist.
Well, that they used to burn down also, but they.
Well, and they'd fly out of the park. And
oh, my God. When they fly out of the ballpark there, I mean, they go out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like catapulted out of the ballpark. Wow. Crazy stuff. Well, his dad was a superintendent of the track. At 15 years old, he was working the pay window at Legion Ascot Speedway. Now, the pay window is not for the faint of heart.
No.
The pay window is not for the faint of heart. Fred Raymer and I talked about pay window and antics and shenanigans at pay windows.
Boy.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Raymer and shenanigans.
Yes. Mm. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I'll share it as we get. Let's get through this. Oh, my gosh. Age 17. He was the chief steward for the AAA racing at Tucson. At age 23, he was running the entire West Coast operations for the American Auto Club. 1955, AAA left racing. Betts moved to USAC Board of Directors. He was also the chairman of the Automobile Competition Committee for the United States, ACCUS, and he passed in 2008, but he's forever enshrined at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And, of course, you can become a member of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It comes complete with a discount. Mm-hmm. SprintCarHOF.com. That's SprintCarHOF.com. I cannot wait. I got a couple trips to get out there. I might get out there a couple times this year.
Oh, nice.
I might get out there two. I might get out there three times. Just showing off then. Then I'm showing off.
Then you're just rubbing it in.
Then I'm just rubbing it in. Exactly.
Just
so
wrong.
Great stuff. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Okay, so I'm in the pits at Bats. Okay? And Rich Eichelberger owns Freddie's car.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm standing there talking to Aaron Raymer.
Yeah.
Aaron Moody.
Yeah.
Aaron Raymer. She's running the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Coming up in a couple of weeks. So we're just chit-chatting. And Fred comes walking out of the trailer, and he says, just when you think you've saw it all, I'm like, what? And he points, and there's a pan of charcoal cooking beside the engine. The heater to heat the engine up broke. And so Rich Eichelberger went old school.
Wow,
and just
that's
did charcoal.
Very old school.
Yeah, very old school. And Fred looks and laughs and says, just when you think you've seen it all, you'll see it with this team, with this crew. And I said, man, if we had some burgers and hot dogs and marshmallows, we'd really have something.
Food.
Exactly. But no, it was just funny when I thought about that. I just love going up there, just catching up with people. I mean, it's just really, really cool to catch up with folks. I love Kyle Moody's dad and I. We talk all the time. Just, he could not be a nicer guy. There's just so many cool people, and it's just fun. But they had charcoal going in the Eichelberger pit. I'm like, man, that's good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, World of Outlaw and NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars coming up this weekend. A new track for the Outlaws, Thunderbird Speedway, Muskogee, Oklahoma. How about that on Friday night, Aaron? And well, they're going back to a place on Saturday that they've been to before.
Oh, yeah. 81 Speedway in Wichita, Kansas. It's the Wichita Sprint Car Showdown. And that's the 14th time the World of Outlaws has visited there. The most recent was 2023, and Rico was in Victory Lane.
Central Pennsylvania, Friday night, Williams Grove. Saturday, Lincoln and Port Royal. Port Royal trying to get that sprint car season opener off the ground. We'll see what happens with them.
As well as Attica trying to get their season over. This is take number three. And then also racing is Farmington Empire Speedway.
Yeah, fun stuff. It really is. I want to before we get out of here with our food talk show, small sprint car racing show. If you like what we're doing here on Wing Nation, like, share, and support us. Facebook, Instagram, X, Wing Nation. You can find us on all of those. Hopefully, at the end of this week, I'll have a video out with Brain Fade here. Dylan Norris. Dylan Norris. I had total brain fade on that. I was thinking Tyler Ross. Dylan Norris. So I'll have a video out later on. It'll be on our YouTube page where all of these shows are as well. So like, share, and spread the word. Spread the sprint car gospel as well. And for God's sake, go to a racetrack this week. You might have as much fun as I did. And stop at a local establishment and get yourself something to eat.
Some pizza bowl.
Stop at Chipotle and get some sour cream to go with your chips. Do something fun on the way to the racetrack or just go to the concession. Oh, my God.
Williams
Grove. Sauerkraut dogs at Williams Grove and Bricker's fries at Babs. Oh my gosh, so good. So, folks, get out
there. You better get to Run Club.
I mean, Run Club, what's that? Oh my God. Yeah, great stuff. Really, really fun. Fun weekend in Central Pennsylvania. So good to see a lot of folks up there too. And I appreciate everyone coming up and saying hi and sharing with us that you're part of Wing Nation. We really do enjoy it, that's for sure. And we enjoy conversations like we had today. Carson Macedo and Corey Eliason joining us here today on the program. For Aaron Evernham, I'm Steve Post. Thanks for joining us this time on Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.